Thank you very much, Rabbi Safran, for making me feel like I'm at my funeral. But in all seriousness, Rabbi Safran asked me to speak a little bit about... It's all good. Just leave it. It's about putting Talmidim first. And my opening words are that I don't know each of you personally. I don't know the boys in Yeshiva, although I did see three of them at the 7:45 minyan this morning at the Young Israel. So I have a little bit of an insight. They're pretty much similar to DRS boys, the boys that I deal with every day. I've had the chus to be a menahel and a rebbe, a menahel for 23 years, a menahel and a rebbe for 28 years, Baruch Hashem. And my first words are, in terms of the issue of putting Talmidim first, whatever Rabbi Safran says, that's what you should do, l'dati. I'm only coming, rakbasi l'orer. I don't know your Talmidim or you as well as you do. You know probably better than me. But worst comes to worst, the best thing about this morning is you come to a professional learning day, we'll at least have a chance to learn some Torah together. Lamaisa, there's nothing greater than that. If we could learn along the way of learning a little Torah together, we'll learn a little bit about how to best interact with Talmidim and to put Talmidim first. So then, matovu manoim. It will be even better. Before I even get into that, I first want to dedicate my words today, Le'ili Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav David Zvi and Rav Yosef. My father was a mechanech, a menahel, for close to 50 years. He was nifter a little over a year and a half ago. And anything I'm going to say today strictly comes what I lived and learned and breathed and watched in my father day in and day out throughout my entire life. My father was a very unique mechanech, and I hope that through my presentation I'll be able a little bit to use him as an example. I spoke, actually, believe it or not, the Torah Masorah asked me to come at the convention this past year to speak about my father. So I spoke a little bit about who my father was, and my father was a many places. For the last 16 years, he was the associate menahel at Yeshiva of North Jersey, called YNJ. He was the principal of Manhattan Day School for 18 years. He was the principal of Moriah School in Englewood. He was a Rebbe there and then a principal there. He was also Rebbe in Frisch for a couple of years. He was a lot of different places. He was the national director of NCSY for a couple of years. And he was the camp director, thank you, he was the camp director of Camp Magen Avraham for 20 years. So he's been very, very involved. He also ran the teen minion in B'nai Sharon and Teaneck for over 20 years. So that was his vacation. That's what he did, volunteer. That was what he just stomped it on his one day off. He volunteered. That's who my father was. So whatever little bit I've been able to achieve and accomplish is only due to the schus and the teaching and the modeling that I had from my mentor, and that's my father. Before we even get into putting the Talmidim first, I wanted to start off with how lucky a person has to feel that he has the schus to teach Torah every day. And this is not something light, and I know that maybe the pay isn't so good, although this building's pretty amazing. I have never seen a yeshiva building quite like this. It doesn't change the fact. I don't think so. So I know that there are stresses in being a Rebbe, but I once heard from Ramosha Weinberger. I daven in his shul sometimes. I used to daven a lot more than not so much anymore. But the Navi tells us in source number one, Yirmiyo, Arur osa meleches Hashem remia. Cursed is someone who makes the meleches Hashem into a joke, into something light. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, famously in source number two, talks about how David HaMelech, that Yoav was got the pasuk wrong on the pasuk Timcha as Zecher Amalek. So someone, he read it as Zachar. Can you imagine? So the Gemara says that his Rebbe, who taught him Zachar, was Chayiv Misa for this. It's a machlokes the Gemara, whether he actually killed him or not, whether he killed him. Okay, that's Stama, Gemara, that's a pachet for Rebbeim. That's not what I came here to speak about, that when a Rebbe teaches something wrong, how much a Rebbe has to prepare. That's not what I'm here for. What I'm actually here for is that the Gemara quotes that pasuk, Ar Osem Alech Hashem Ramiya, Sedra Moshe Weinberger, what do you see with this Gemara? There's only one profession in all of Tanakh that's referred to as Meleches Hashem, Hashem's work. That's being a Rebbe. That's what you see from the Gemara. Meleches Hashem, when a person is involved in chich, you have to realize, maybe the pay is not good, maybe the kids make you crazy, maybe they're not listening, maybe X, Y, and Z. You're involved in Meleches Hashem. This is a davar gadol ma'od. My father was someone who so loved being a mechanech. He was his whole essence. He was 73 years old. I mean, the truth is, the best thing I could have done for a PD today would be just me. I'll just play you the video of the 80 kids that got on a video to what they said about my father. My father's a 73-year-old man who was the associate principal of a middle school. 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. To see what the 10, 11, and 12-year-olds said about the 73-year-old man, they honored him 3 months before he was nifter. My father went to work the last day of his life. It was a shock. He was totally fine. He was at work. And my last conversation with my father was he was thrilled that YNJ agreed to extend this contract another 2 years to let him work till 75. That was my last. He was so happy that he didn't have to retire. That he held the greatest joy and privilege in the world to be mechanech talmidim, to teach. He taught a Mishnah class. He ran the davening every morning. You know, I'll tell you a story. One time, I tweeted one time about a couple of years ago about how what a mechaya it is for mechanechim that on vacation we could actually daven. Like it's mechaya. So someone came into the shiva house by my father, and one time he met my father over the summer, and they davened in the same minyan together. And the other mechanech said to my father, "Oh, isn't it so a pleasure? We don't have to worry about the kids during davening." My father looked at him like he was crazy. He said, "What do you mean? I'm looking forward to the minyan with the kids. I love the minyan with the kids. That's my whole chiyus, to teach them how to daven, to be a role model. I love it. You're telling me, you know, you're happy. I'm counting down the days till I get to join, because I get to daven with the kids again." So someone told us at the shiva house. So it has to be melechas Hashem. We have to realize what there could be no such thing as burnout. My father, there was no such animal. He couldn't think about that. What do you mean? You come to work every day. You have the schluss to teach Talmidim Torah. Were you burning out from that? Okay, they don't say thank you. Shkoyach, the parents don't say thank you. Who cares? You're not in it for the thank you. You're here because you're doing Melechas Hashem. You're doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. So we have to start with that. Now, when Rabbi Safran mentioned that the topic was going to be putting Talmidim first, so immediately I thought of Rav Pam from Tarvadas, or from Pam, Echad Migdolei, the Hador She'avar, Echad Migdolei HaMechanchim. So he famously coined the phrase, "I don't teach Torah, I teach Talmidim." And there's a very, very big difference between a Rebbe who comes in and teaches Torah versus a Rebbe who comes in and teaches Talmidim. We have to be totally focused and riveted on the needs of the Talmidim all the time. It's not what I want to say. Of course, Chanoch Lanao Pidaka, we'll talk about that. It's not what I want to say, but it's what's best for the Talmidim. And it's no secret, it's no accident that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was called upon to teach Torah. L'Klal Yisrael, he was Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. He's the one who HaKadosh Baruch was selected to give over Torah Hashem. And the Torah, of course, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as the most humble of all the people. And the Torah wants to identify the midah that a mechanech needs more than any other midah. So the Torah, if Moshe Rabbeinu was Rabban Shel Yisrael, Malami Torah, Moshe Emes, Sarasa Emes. So humility is the, apparently, humility is the tchuna, the characteristic trait that a mechanech needs more than anything else. And l'chora, this is the pshat in the Gemara. And why is humility so important for mechanech? So, number one, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that if he had somebody who was humble, he wasn't going to add in his own ha'aris, his own chidushim to Taras Hashem. He was going to give Taras Hashem as Taras Hashem. He's a humble person. He's going to transmit what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Number two, people like to listen to people who are humble. When a guy is a fool of himself and gets up, nobody likes to listen to that guy. You ever notice some people, they come in and they say, "Ah, I know this, I am bragging about it. I'm this, I'm the other thing." No, but right away, most people, they're going to shut the guy off. He wants to talk about himself. He doesn't want to talk about, he's not talking to me. And the third thing is that, and this is what we're focusing on, and that is he's going to be totally focused on the needs of those he's speaking to, not his own. It's not about him. And a Rebbe, sometimes, you know, you're getting up there in front of people, oh, you feel yourself so chashuv, they look at you, you've been, you look at everyone, everyone's looking at you, they're looking to you for guidance, they're looking to you for advice, they're looking to you to open up the pearls of wisdom of the ruchnis and spirituality. It's very easy to let it get to your head. There's a lot of Rebbeim who have this problem, they let it get to their head. So Moshe Rabbeinu was anav ma'od, the Torah is teaching us that when you're a Rebbe, you got to be careful. That's what I want to just spend a few minutes talking about at the beginning. The importance of the midos of the Rebbe and the midos of the Rebbe as it relates to strictly focusing on the needs of Talmidim, putting Talmidim first, strictly focused on the needs of Talmidim at all times. Check out this, I'm sure, again, and by the way, I'm reasonably certain that everything I'm going to tell you today you already know. So, but Mesillas Yesharim says, right? So reminders are good too. Reminders are good too. I'm sure you know everything already. So I apologize if there's not so much chidushim. I'm actually not such a big Baal Mechadesh at all. But what I do is I collect from different places and try to act on what I've learned. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shachol Yad Baruch. So let's learn together the Gemara Chagig. I'm a Rabbi Barachad Rabbi Yochanan. My dichsev ki siv sekon yishmru das v'tori yivakshu mipihu ki malach Hashem tzavakosu. That a Kohen is the one who is a Baal Das, and that's who you're supposed to ask, learn Torah from. Why? Because he's a Malach Hashem. Says the Gemara, this is a pachad for every Rebbe in the world. Im doima harav l'malach Hashem tzavakos yivakshu Torah mipihu. If the Rebbe is like a Malach, then he should get a job in Yula. But if the Rebbe's not Vimlo, but if the Rebbe's not a Malach, he shouldn't get a job. He shouldn't be a Rebbe. A pachad for all Rabbeim. So what does it mean? So the Rambam has one take, and I think that's Darva Galdam Mod. We're going to talk about this a little bit in relationships. When we get to relationships, how important relationships are, as I'm sure all of you know. When we're going to get to that in a moment, we're going to see that the truth is that much more than your Talmidim are ever going to learn from what you tell them, they are going to learn 100 times more from who you are, from the model that you are for them. What you say to them, probably after the year, they're going to forget. Most of the words that you tell them, most of the Gemaras that you teach them, most of the Machlokas Ktsosa Nesivas or the Machlokas Rashi Tosas, they're going to forget most of that. But what they're going to get from you more is who you are as a person. And that's one reason why it's so important for a Rebbe to be a Baal Midos. We'll talk about this, what it means, a Malach Hashem, in a second, because that's what the Talmidim are going to remember more. They're going to remember who you are. Even in the secular world, even in the non-Jewish world, they recognize this as a guy, Parker Palmer. He's a very big bucky in this. His whole word is that you don't teach the material, you're teaching yourself. You're teaching yourself. That's what you're really teaching. The Torah is important, obviously, and that's just a way for them to see who you really are. It's almost like Tufel in a certain sense. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of what they're going to learn from you, so let's take a look at what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, "V'chein harav she'ein holech b'derech tova, afal pi shechachem gadol hu." He might be very, very intelligent, and he might have a very, very good way of explaining. He may be very, very clear in explaining. V'cholam tzrichen lo. If he's not a good guy, you can't learn from him. So the Rambam seems to understand you got to be a Baal Midos, you got to be a good person, you shouldn't be a Baal Aveira. That's the way the Rambam seems to understand it. There's a Peladika Hafla. That's why he's the Hafla. There's Sefer HaMakna, right? HaMikna. The Hafla is a Pinchas Halevi Horowitz. He wrote the Sefer Hafla. He also wrote a Sefer Kiddushin called the Makna. It's a very famous comment of the Makna in his Hakdama, where he learns slightly differently than the Rambam in this Maimar Chazal of the Rebbe Domal Baal Hashem. He says like this. He quotes a pasuk in Zechariah. So the pasuk in Zechariah, Per Gimel, pasuk Zayin, the pasuk says, "V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela," that a malach is called an omed, and a human being is called a mahalich. A malach is an omi because a malach can't really grow. When a malach is created, so that's the way he is. He has one job. He has no yitzhahara. If you have no yitzhahara, you can't grow. You never have a challenge, you never have an issue. So this is the way the Makna understands this Maimer Chazal. If the Rebbe's Domel a Malach Hashem means that the Rebbe has to be like a malach, which means the Rebbe has to stunt his own growth for the benefit of the Talmidim. He has to be solely focused on, it's all about the Talmidim, about putting the Talmidim first. The Rebbe has to be totally focused on the Talmidim, even at the expense of his own growth. Take a look at the very last lines of that. And by the way, he even adds, there's a Peladik Echasim Sofer about this, we'll talk about this in a moment, but, so a Rebbe, Dama L'malach Hashem, means looks just like a malach is an oimed, and he doesn't progress. So too a Rebbe has to be an omed. Rav Pam actually used to say that a Rebbe should learn what he's teaching the Talmidim, that Seder, that's what he should learn all day. That's what Rav Pam used to say. I don't observe that. I also learned some other things. I mean, I've been teaching brachas now a few years in a row. We can talk about curriculum, whatever, but that's for a different discussion. But we made a change a few years ago. It used to be the whole yeshiva learn masechta. Now we don't do it anymore. Okay, not for now. But Rav Pam used to say that if a Rebbe's dedicated to his Talmidim, you got to be involved in what you're teaching the Talmidim. Okay, maybe that was in Torah Das, maybe in Yule, it's not quite the same thing, but you get the idea. The idea is that a Rebbe is supposed to be completely, you got to know that stuff that you're teaching the Talmidim. You got to be learning it all day. You got to know it cold. If you're putting the Talmidim first, step one is you got to prepare and over-prepare and over-prepare that you know every single question that might come up to Talmud. Because you know what? If your Talmud asks a kashya, you didn't see who was in the Pnei Yeshua, you didn't know who was in the Pnei Yeshua. Now when he asks the kashya, you could say, oh my gosh, you know who's sitting in the classroom today? The Pnei Yeshua is sitting in our classroom today. And we're going to talk in a second. I believe very strongly it's so important to build Talmidim up. I know some of the secular people don't agree with this. There's a famous guy, Alfie Cohen, he's very against like fakely building kids up. I'm also against fakely building kids up. But I'm very, very in favor of, even if a kid does a little good thing, to build that up and make it into something big. Because then a kid begins to believe in himself. Hey, I can do this. And who knows what siyata d'shmaya could come once a kid gets one thing right and he has one good thing. I don't believe in telling kids they're great when they're not great. I don't believe in that at all. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. The Rebbe asked me to talk a little bit about grades. We'll talk a little bit about it at the end, about giving grades in the Kodesh. Maybe we'll have some time to talk about that. But I do believe a lot in praising kids. So putting your total focus on what the Talmidim, so if you're spending your whole day, like Rav Pam said, learning the whole Masechta, at least you'll every time a kid has a kasha, you're not gonna like sit there or whatever, or, you know, make up something. You're gonna say, oh my gosh, that's the Pnei Yeshua's kasha. You can only do that if you spend the whole day, you know, or a significant part of the day. Maybe some of the Rabbeim here probably don't have to spend the whole day, but some of the other Rabbeim might have to spend a little more time. If you're like me, then you're going to have to probably spend a lot more time to make sure that your mamash covered every nuance so that you'll know what the kid came up with, so you'll be able to say, what a beautiful, oh, you wouldn't believe it. You just asked Rabbeinu Yonah's kasha. You wouldn't believe it. You just asked, we have the Pnei Yeshua sitting here in our class. You know what that makes a kid feel like when he asks the Rashba's kasha? Makes him feel like $1 million. When you say to him, you ask the Rashba's kasha. Oh, so, and by the way, there's an unbelievable Chasam Sofer. Well, before we get to that, so one of the Rashi Yeshiva Porat Yosef was somebody named Rabbi Ezra Atiya. So once I saw a quote in his name as follows: when a person seeks a Rebbe who can teach him Torah, he should investigate: is that person seeking the good of his Talmidim or of himself? Does he stop to explain an issue patiently until the Talmud grasps the difficulty? Famous Gemara in Erevin, source number 6. Rabbi Preda, who Talmid David Tunneli Arba Mea Zimni Vegomar. Rabbi Preda had a certain Talmud. I don't know. Rabbi Safran just showed me the learning needs area. I'm sure we have plenty of kids here at our yeshiva. We have a lot of kids with learning needs. We don't have even a mashahu of the kind of matzah that you guys have going on over there to service those kids with learning needs. We have nothing. I took a lot of pictures. You know, maybe got to raise a few more $1 million. But anyway, so even with all the learning disciplines, I'm not sure you have any kids in this yeshiva who need to learn something 400 times to figure it out. Maybe you do. I don't know. Rabbi Preda, he Mamish had a kid, he wouldn't get it for 400 times. Some beg to differ. Okay. Abba said, Yom Echad B'yul L'milsa De Mitzvah Tanalei V'loi Gomar. He needed to go do a different mitzvah, and he didn't finish. It was 400 times. The kid still didn't know. Amalei, Ha'idna Maishna. So he said to him, how come you're not learning? Amalei, Midahi Shaita De Amalei Lamar Ikin Milsa De Mitzvah Aschoyle Datoy V'chol Shaita Mina Hashtakoyimar. Hashtakoyimar is unbelievable Gemara. When Rabbi prayed in the middle of teaching this Talmud, so he was called away to a Dvar Mitzvah, and he saw the kid wasn't learning. Usually after 400 times the kid would get it, but now he's after 400 times. And the kid said, no, I was scared that you were being pulled away, that you weren't going to sit here, you weren't going to patiently explain to me the whole time, so I was scared. So Rabbi prayed to responded, okay, let's go another 400. Amalei, hav datach v'etnulach. Let's sit down and do a nachamal. Hada tanalei abramei azim na'achrini. He did for another 400 times. He gave him a choice. What would you rather? Would you rather live till 400 or be guaranteed to Olam Haba? He chose the Olam Haba. Hashem said, I'm going to give you both. So I just quoted this Gemara, the level of patience. How important is that? A Rebbe has patience
400 times, 800 times. None of us ever have, but to have patience to be able to, and that's one of the big questions of education, is what do you do when one kid is not getting it, and the other kid is starting to get restless? It's a very, very good kasha. Maybe if you want in the question and answers. And just as an aside over here, this unbelievable Chasam Sofer, which is not available online, so I had to figure out, I apologize, I'm really not technologically very, very good. I apologize about that, but I was able to somehow take a picture of this Chasam Sofer. But you should look at it in the original, because it's unbelievable, this Chasam Sofer. This Chasam Sofer can be found in the introduction to Tshuvas Yoredeya, they're written by his son, talking about his father. It's called Pituchei Chosam. The Pituchei Chosam is the introduction. This Chasam Sofer has been the biggest chizuk for my own career in chinuch. So I figure I'm coming here. It is directly related to the topic. It's almost directly related to the topic. It's not like on the nail, but it's very related. The Chasam Sofer is talking about the pesukim. His son is quoting in his father's name. Introduction to Chelik Yer Tshuvas Yoredeya. He says, the pasuk says, "Machaseni me'Avraham Asher ani Oseh." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Should I tell Avram about the destruction of stone, or should I not?" Unbelievably, Rebbeinu Shlom's clearing a chakira. Bechlal, the Rebbeinu Shlom's clearing a chakira. Should I tell Avram about stone or not? You're the Rebbeinu Shlom. I mean, you don't clear chakiras. So the Chasam Sofer has question number one: why is the Rebbeinu Shlom asking, "Should I tell Avram about stone or not?" What's the shaila? Why does Rebbeinu Shlom have a shaila? The Rebbeinu Shlom shouldn't have shilas. You and I have shilas. We don't know what to do. The Rebbeinu Shlom is the Rebbeinu Shlom. You shouldn't have shilas. And what's the answer? Ki adativ l'man ha'she yitzavas banav es beis l'achum v'shomer derech Hashem l'asa tzach l'nish l'man ho v'yalav meis asher eis asher ahayolo. I forgot the end of the pasuk. So, how's that the teretz? Oh, I know he's such a great guy. He taught his kids. So then he decides to tell him. What was the kasha? What was the teretz? Zoch the chas was so far unbelievable. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon? His cheshbon was, on the one hand, Avraham Avinu did not really merit. He had not, in his own learning, gotten to a place of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he deserved to get that nevuah. He hadn't gotten it. So that was the tzad to say, I'm not telling him about it. On the other hand, said the Rebbeinu Shlom, I know why he didn't get to that madriga. You know why he didn't get to that madriga? Because he spent his whole life being Makar of the world. And when you spend your whole life being Makar of the world, sometimes you can't focus on your own growth and your own learning so much because you're held down by your talmidim, because you got to sit there and deal with all the garbage that you and I deal with every day. And if you and I didn't have to deal with all the garbage that we do every day, we would all be big talmidim chachamim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to artificially give Avraham Avinu the madriga that he had he worked on himself the whole time, every minute that he was spending dealing with that kid who's so low in the dumps, and hey, you hear about things that you never wanted to hear about, and you're talking about things you didn't want to talk about, and you have to deal with this stuff that you have to deal with every day, and all this pain and suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the madriga, I'm going to give you the merit to hear about the nevuah of stone, even though you didn't get the madriga, because I know that the reason you didn't get it is because you were dealing with kids the whole time, because you were dealing with drek the whole time. That's why you didn't get it. So that's why I'm a key to that. That's the answer. No, I know who this guy is. He spent his whole life helping Talmidim. I'm going to give him the madriga that he had gotten otherwise. So when we put Talmidim first, gentlemen, we don't lose. And the Makna, even, by the way, I skipped. The Makna said the same thing at the end. If you look back, what? There was this Rebbe. Right. Correct. The who? The Hafla was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. Correct. It was his Rebbe. So you see, Rav Nosson Adler. And the Chasam Sofer is huge about this, by the way. I like to, this is just total aside. Everybody knows the famous Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein of you're supposed to give 1/10 of your time. Everybody knows that, right? Just like Meister, right? But what nobody knows is if you read the Tshuva, who's he arguing on? He's arguing on the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says you can give 90% of your time. You can give 90%. Says Lishitaso.
Oh, you don't lose.
And Solishitaso, another place. Baha, very good. Baha, you heard me say this already? Okay, you know it already. Okay, you should give this year. Okay, on Baha Talarecha Kamocha, Zekla Godabat Torah, the Chasam Sofer said, what does it mean? Baha Talarecha Kamocha, Zekla Godabat Torah. When it comes to Torah, you could put your friend before you. You should love your friend as much as yourself. Baha Talarecha. I told you there would be nothing new here. Okay, so now you know there's nothing new. Baruch Hashem. And in terms of putting Talmidim first,
Kaitman comes by regular things, right?
Yeah.
So why not by Rufus?
By the way, he's
No, so but it's
yeah.
Rufus, you don't lose, so there's no Chayecha Kaitman.
Right. Very good. My father was so incredibly dedicated to the Talmidim. That's why there were 80 on this video. You should look up. You could see it on YouTube. I'm telling you, it's worth 20 minutes. Because everyone who says that a 73-year-old man cannot be relevant to an 11-year-old, just watch this video for 10 minutes, a 15-minute video of kid after kid after kid after kid talking to my father. And kids don't lie. Adults can say politically correct things. But 11-year-old kids and 12-year-olds, 10-year-old kids, they don't lie. They don't lie. They don't get this whole thing that they're supposed to be lying. What they said about my father, it was like unbelievable. He cared about us. He always saw the good in us. He, you know, he helped me in this situation. He helped me out of this problem. He drove me here. It's unbelievable, you know, and he was 73 years old. Unbelievable that it's possible to still be relevant in the lives of kids. But he put the Talmidim first. My father, every Shabbos, he had Parkinson's. He was totally fine, but he had Parkinson's disease for 2 years. Every Shabbos, my father would walk, you know, walk like this. He would walk miles every Shabbos, miles, even a week before he was Nifter, 2 weeks. Miles to bar mitzvahs. He had to go to every single kid's bar mitzvah. One of them was in Beth Aaron, one of them was 2 miles. He would go hashkama minyan to catch this kid's bar mitzvah. And they knew, I have the picture on my phone. I can't show it now because I'm recording this, but the picture on top of after is 3 days before his nifter. To me, this signs all things. 3 days before his nifter, he went to a kid's bar mitzvah in B'nai Yeshurun on Sunday morning. And you see, he's giving shalom to a kid. And look at, as wishing mazel tov, you look at the kid's eyes, the way he looks at my father. Because you can't fake that. You can't fake the care. You can't fake putting Talmidim first. It's not something you can do lip service. You could just talk about. Kids know the difference, and we'll talk about relationships. We're going to close this section with an incredible, which may be a little controversial, but it's okay. A little controversial is good. And here, I don't think this will be so controversial. There was a great gadol in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz was the Rosh Hashiv of Panovich Latzihirim, which is Panovich's high school. I used to go to him a little bit. I used to bring my kids for brachos. Before, I once read in a sefer that it's a beautiful thing to take your son before his bar mitzvah to gedolim that they should get brachos. I did that. The schus every summer that I went to sell and see why kolol 25 years, unbelievable schus that I got a brachos blessed with. I don't know how I got that schus, but whatever, I got this schus, maybe because my brother-in-law runs the thing. But okay, but anyway, so I'm there. So a lot of times, if there's a bar mitzvah coming up the year, I'll make sure over the summer and in America too. And to Gedoli Torah. So I used to take my kids from Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. Unbelievable. Some of the Gedolim don't give you much time. They don't give you many words. But Michal Yehuda would always, he would sit you down. He would talk a little bit. He was an incredible person. I have many other stories about my time with Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. Not for now. But I once saw someone, one of the rabbis in our yeshiva, showed me this story. So a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, a guy who was a rabbi in yeshiva, went to Michal Yehuda to ask him the following shaila. Rabbi, I can take 2 years off sabbatical and go back and learn in Kolel. Go back and learn in Kolel for 2 years. And they guaranteed me in the yeshiva I'm going to get my job back. So what does the Rebbe think? Should I take 2 years off from teaching to go back to learn in Kolel and get myself, get more chizik, and I'll be able to come back to the Talmidim? So Michal Yehuda said to him, you can't ask me this question. He said, Rebbe, I ask the Rebbe all my questions. I ask every time I want to move, I ask you my question. He said, you can't ask this question. Why not? Now, Rebbe Michal Yehuda was a high school Rebbe until he was 95. He used to give a shiur, I believe he used to give a shiur yomi, if not a shiur yomi, a shiur shavui. He was giving a high school shiur until he was in his 90s, for sure. Until he was 90s. He said, I've been a mechanech for many years. I never once thought about myself. So you can't ask me this kasha, because I'm just not the right person. I've been a mechanech. I've never once thought about myself. I only think about the Talmidim. So you can't ask me this kasha. If you have a kasha about what's good for yourself as a Rebbe, I can't answer that kasha. You have to ask somebody else. I've never once thought about myself. Now again, I tweeted that once and it caused a little bit of a storm. But that's what he said. That's what the Maish was. It was quoted in the Haredi press, I think in Hamudia, one of those. I don't read the Haredi press, but it was quoted in one of them. I thought it was a paladic story. Could be. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. And of course, what when we talk about putting Talmidim first, so the love that a Rebbe has for a Talmud is what paves the way for that relationship. The love really, really paves the way. To me, one of the most fundamental ideas of all of Chinuch is a very simple mission in Pirkei Avos, which is source number 7. Hil v'shami kiblu mehem, hil omer havemi tamudov shalavim, oy v'shal mershom, oy v'sabrios u'makarvan latov, oy v'sabrios u'makarvan. That should be, like, to my mind, you know, that should be every Rebbe's byline. Rabbi Meir Fendel, I don't know if you know that name, Rabbi Meir Fendel was a legendary principal in the United States for many years. He happens to be my Machatenista's father. He's now lives in an old age home in Eretz Yisrael. So when my father was left a year and a half ago, he was close with my father. The whole long story how he had a lot of connections with my father. He was involved in Torah Mesorah back in the day, and then he was a principal of Hank for many, many years, legendary. So when he's like 93 now, he came to pay a shiva call. He came to the Levi on a Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock and he barely walked. Then he had to come again Motzei Shabbos, a shiva call. I was like blown away. I felt terrible, 93-year-old man. He says, man, I want to tell you what your father's secret in chinuch was. What was your father's secret ingredient in chinuch? That's what he tells me. I'll tell you, father, he said, and people don't know this. People don't know how important this is. He simply loved every Talmud like his own kid. He didn't just say it. He had a love for every Talmud. So that's why these kids would respond to my father. Because they knew that he loved them. They knew that he loved them. Really. Really, really, really. And kids, you can't fake out with this. The kids know the difference between who really cares and who's just punching in the clock, going in and punching in the clock and going home. Oh, that's what the mission says. It's a very simple, recipe. There needs to be a connection to have an influence. And let me tell you something. If you don't have a connection with your Talmidim, they ain't going to learn anything from you. If you don't have a connection with your Talmidim, there's a guy, when I went to Harvard, okay, there, I dropped the H word. Okay, when I went to Harvard, so they had this guy, Norman Kuntz. He spoke to us, and he told us about this Canadian dropout survey, about why kids dropped out of school in Canada. It was 3 R's. I'm not sure I remember the 3rd R. Maybe Rabbi Safran will remember it. But one of them was relationships, relevance. It's not relevant to me. I don't find what I'm learning to be relevant to me. Relationship, relevant, there was a 3rd R. Respect. Maybe it was respect. Look it up. Okay. Respect. But relationships. This you all know. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Some understand. Maybe we'll get to this at the end about what is it?
Rigor.
Okay, there we go. Were the other two? Did I get the other two right? Relationship and relevance? Yeah. Okay, fine. So some understand the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And again, a Rebbe's not supposed to be a friend. Some understand. There's an element. There's a dimension of a Rebbe that has to be a friend also. A dimension. I don't think a Rebbe is supposed to be the kid's friend. No. But some understand the same person. There has to be an element. An element. That's the element of love we're talking about. That's the love that a Rebbe has to have to the Talmidim. The Stipler in Sefer Toldos Yaakov, the Stipler writes, a Rebbe needs to live and breathe his Talmidim. If a Rebbe sees a Talmud who is down, putting the Talmidim first, maybe his grandfather is sick, the Rebbe needs to say, give me his name, I'll daven for him. This brings a closeness and show you care. If you see a kid's not in yeshiva one day, call him up. Call the kid up. A kid's not in yeshiva. One day, a kid's out of yeshiva. You know what that does for a kid when the Rebbe called him up and you weren't in yeshiva? We missed you today. Putting the Talmidim first, it shows you care. This is the Rabbi in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Take a look. You have to be careful about your Talmidim, never to embarrass them, chas v'shalom. You know, Rick Lavoie is an expert in special ed. He came to speak. He said, you know what the worst thing for a teenager is? The worst thing, worse than failure, worse than his girlfriend dumping him, the worst thing for a teenager is, well, maybe this is the same thing, but the worst thing is to feel embarrassed in front of his friends. That's the worst thing. The worst thing. You may never, ever, under any circumstances, embarrass a kid. Ever. There's no ever head to that. You're never going to recover from that. You will never get anything with that Talmid if you embarrass him in public. If he needs to be put in his place, you do it in private. You can tell him privately if he needs a talking to. In public, you never, ever, because you'll never, that's what the Rambam said. Just when you're Rambam. V'tzar chadam lizar v'talmidav. It's a beautiful and having that relationship and it's because of these last two reasons, the love and the relationship, that it's crucial for Rabbeim to interact with students outside the classroom. I have long advocated the necessity of taking this aspect of informal education, including it in formal education. The Rabbeim need to invite kids over to their homes on Shabbos. By us, it's in the Rebbe's contract, and the Rabbeim get reimbursed. I think yeshivas should reimburse Rebbe's for doing this. Yeshivas need to arrange Shabbatons and Tishas and Malava Malkas to allow the Talmidim and staff to interact informally, because that'll build the relationship. So Talmidim can see who the Rebbe really is. That goes back to what I said before. They're going to remember who you are. And we can build relationships between them. This is also why it's so important for Rabbeim to be involved in extracurricular activities. The Rabbeim should go to the kids' games, go to the kids' ball games. If they're in a play, go to the play. Whatever you can do to help cement this crucial relationship. My son, who's now Shana Bet Neretzor, reminded me when Reb David Willig made a deal with the guys that if they learned a certain amount, he would come watch the Super Bowl with them. So said Reb David Willig. My son still remembered it 3 years later. Now he doesn't care about the Super Bowl. But at that time, it made a roshim that the Rebbe would care enough about what the kids cared about. They knew the Rebbe Willig didn't care a diddly squat for the Super Bowl. He could care less about the Super Bowl. But he knew the Talmidim cared about it. He says, listen, we're going to learn. I think maybe he said, if we learn the whole first half. I think that's what he said. Yes. If you learn the whole... No, I think it was worse than that. That if we learn the whole first half together, I'll watch the second half with you. I think that's what it was. And the Talmidim was so nispav, but my son still remembers it. When Talmidim feel that teachers care about what matters to them, they will care about what matters to the teacher. When Talmidim feel that a teacher cares about what matters to them, they're going to care about what matters to the Rebbe. That was, I think, the Super Bowl story is a perfect, just came to my head. And this is why computers are never going to replace Rebbe's in the classroom. Because Talmidim need to see. They need to see the person. They need to interact with role models. They need to have a relationship with them. You can't have a relationship with a computer. Maybe some people do, Lamaisa, but and emulate their personalities. That was my father's secret. He had love. He had zero ego. My father, a person came to the Shiva house and told us this story. You know, I'm sort of running out of time, but so much more to say. But okay, usually we'll do like a 2 minute blitz. Because the truth is, I really want to respond to what you have to say. We'll do the 2 minute version, but you got to hear this story. This kid came into the Shiva house. And he said that when I was in third grade, we moved into Teaneck. It's going back a long time ago. And none of the Teaneck yeshivas had any special ed program. None of them. Manhattan Day School, my father was the principal, they had the only special ed program in an elementary school. That the special ed was in, mainstream, in the elementary school, like Patach, like MTA has a Patach program, but they didn't have it. So this kid moved to Teaneck, and they could barely afford the tuition, but they had to go to Manhattan Day School. So they finally figured out a deal, tuition. How's he going to get to school? My father said, no problem, I'll drive you into school, to and from school, every single day, for 5 years. Every single day, my father drove this kid into school, every single day, for 5 years, to and from school, never asked for a penny, never took anything for it, never did, if he had to take care of his own business, etc., whatever it is, for 5 years. He says, your father drove me, never asked for a single thing. It's out of your way a little bit to take every single day. Every single day to take upon yourself that achrayus. So my father put the students first. I spoke a little bit before about building kids up, putting kids first. The Alter of Slabunga, when he used to see somebody do something good, even something small, he would praise them for hours. Bahaloscha, like Acheitas Shalhevas Ola Me'ela, it's a mashal for Torah. You have to pick them up. Praise their good actions. They'll believe in themselves. Kids are looking for praise. Nowadays, the parents have no time for them a lot of times. They're on the devices all day long. We can talk about devices for a long time. DRS did something. We got rid of the devices. That could be a whole other story. I'm not getting involved in it now. I'm just going to get on record and say, look, I'm leaving tomorrow. You have to listen to me. I would strongly, strongly, strongly urge you to get rid of the devices. We got rid of them, and the school's a different school. So, they're not totally gotten rid of, but they're 90% gotten rid of, and kids are starting to talk to each other. Kids are looking to each other.
Afterwards, could you describe? I think that's extremely important.
Okay, it's very important, very important. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said, someone who does not know his kishronos is much more dangerous than someone who does not know his weaknesses. You don't know your kishronos, you don't know where you ever could be. I got a beautiful chasm sofer. I will skip the beautiful chasm sofer. All right, we got to go to the... I want to take your questions. Just the last few things. I talked about Norman Kuntz before, relevance. Choosing material that is relevant to Talmidim. choosing material that's inspiring them, that speaks to them today. The chatzotzros, right? The chatzotzros were the only kli that could not be passed down from generation. The Aron works for all generations. The Shulchan Aruch, chatzotzros, the Gemar Menachos says, your chatzotzros couldn't be used again. Why? So many say, it's quoted a lot of different people, that the way you get people together, the way to inspire them is different every generation. The Torah is the same, but the way they get inspired is different. And you have to know, every generation has its own message. You got to present Torah in a way that it's enjoyable. This is incredible. I got to say, look at this incredible. Medrash and Shir HaShirim. Look at this. There's a malbim on this puzzle, Chanoch Lanar. I couldn't find the Gra online. You should look at the Gra on Chanoch Lanar Alpidarko. It's amazing. The Gra says that Chanoch Lanar Alpidarko means every kid has his own Tchunas HaNefesh. Every kid has his built made of his own stuff. You can't change that. The Gra says, you can't change that. You can't change a kid's Tchunas HaNefesh. You know the famous Rav Hirsch, the world famous Rav Hirsch of Mechanchim, that the reason why Esav became Esav is because Yitzchak and Rivka taught Yaakov and Esav the same way. That's what the Rav Hirsch seems to imply. Unbelievable. Pachad. But what this means is, if you have somebody's nature, you got to take his nature and figure out how he uses his nature and use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't try to change his nature. You're not going to change his nature. The Gemara talks about it. One was a kid, was a wild kid. They made him a butcher, you know, or whatever it was. They tried to take it. He should produce kosher food. Listen to this Gemara about how to present things. This is a crazy Gemara. Medrash. Nofes titofes color of Yochanan Shlokesh. Anyone who teaches Divrei Torah in public and they aren't sweet to those listening to them, like a kala who's sweet on Bnei Adam, on the people going to the chasna in her chuppah, it's better that he didn't say that. But that's only a habitzer. Listen to this next line. Reish Lakish had a slightly more, I don't want to say, if you know who Rabbi Yochanan and where Reish Lakish is, you know why Rabbi Yochanan said it the way he said it, Reish Lakish said it the way he said it. Has to do with their backgrounds, but okay. Anyway, Reish Lakish Amar, call me Shama Divrei Torah, ve'enan arevan al shomein, kekala zu sha'arev al bala b'shas chupasa, noach lo shlo amaran. Let me say that again. Anyone who speaks Divrei Torah barabim, and the words are not as pleasant to the people listening to them as the kala is to the chasan at the chasana, it's better not to say the words of Torah. Whoa. That's pretty intense in the Medrash. But the Medrash is trying to teach us that we have to put Talmidim first. So it's good to make some jokes, because that way the Talmidim will enjoy it. Milsa Dichusa, the Gemara says some of that Maram would start with the Milsa Dichusa. It's got to be relevant. It's got to be excited. It's got to be like Mamad Har Sinai was Kolos of Rakim. You're also supposed to teach Balashon Kitsara. Don't make things too involved and complicated. Rashi taught very, very clear and concise. You're supposed to la'olam yilamid adam tamid derek kitzara. Less is more. Less is clear. Say it short. Say it sweet. Say it clear. So everybody should understand exactly what you're talking about. Anyway, these are some of my ideas. I ran out a little bit of time. And I just want to say one thing about grades, because the Rebbe asked me to talk about it. So the one question I was asking me to speak about was, how do you grade the Talmud? So I believe with most things in life, I believe it's compromise. Do I think you grade the kid straight average? I don't think you have to grade the kid straight average. If a kid is trying hard and he's growing and working hard, so you should reward kids for that. It doesn't, the test grade, by us the tests are no more than 50%. It's more about, is the kid, what's he doing in the class? Is he putting in the effort? Is he learning? Is he trying? Is he struggling? So I certainly would not pass kids if they're not doing anything. No, I wouldn't do that. Kid's not doing anything, he's doing zero, he should fail. He should fail. He should learn that when you do nothing, you don't get anything for it. But do you have to grade straight average? No. If you find that a kid is really trying hard, but he's not on the test, the kid is trying, but he's limited, he can only get 65 and 70s on the test, should you give him a 65, 70? No. Give him an 80. Give him an 82. And then give him a 95. But give him something that's commensurate with where he's holding, then he should try. That's my view on that. Okay, let's hear if you have any questions. We still have more time. Yes, just what's your name?
Elchanan.
Elchanan what? Shaf.
Shin Aleph Nefe.
Shaf. Shaf. Yeah. Elchanan Shaf. Yes.
So thank you so much. This is fantastic. And regarding the grades.
Yeah.
What would you say? Because there's so many.
Classic. I need to drink right from the bottle. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's so many complexities. Just as an example, if you have a shear, where the higher shear grades more strictly, the lower shear is just an easier shear. So you have kids. The Pashas will beg and choose, and the bands will push them.
sorry.
Into the lower shear when they could be growing more. Only because, so then to tell the lower shear that you have to make it, it's not fair. That's not what's good for the lower shear.
So let me tell you, we had this exact, issue. We had the exact same issue. It's a great issue. It's a difficult issue that doesn't have a simple answer. But let me tell you what might be an answer. And again, I don't want to be controversial, but I can get out of here right now. What might be an answer is, if there's really this thing called the honors shear and the non-honors, you really have such a thing, maybe the honors shear, if you're in an honors shear, you should have AO. If you're in an AP class or you're in an honors shear, an honors class is maybe the grade should be times 1.5 or 1.10. You're in an honors class, it's harder.
On the GPA,
it's known.
Yeah,
on the GPA,
it is.
On the GPA, it should be times 1.0, whatever. It's still coming out
yeah,
with
this is this is why should I come to your class with ABT? I'm going to struggle and I'm going to get a B or a C and have to come to Sunday school and have to night seder when I can go to the regulars. No Sunday school, no night seder, and I get an A.
Right.
Better Rebbe.
And the better Rebbe.
Right. It's a problem. It's a big problem. The answer is that
there has to be the same kind of grading system. Is that a question? In the more yeshivish world, the grades are meaningless, and the incentive is created.
So I think if the grades are meaningless, and with our guys, I know yeshivas, in modern Orthodox, yeshivas, the grades are meaningless, and no one learns a blessed thing. Not a blessed thing.
Do you think that's a klal, or that's...
Yes. Lishma doesn't work for modern Orthodox high school kids. Ladati. Lishma does not work. If there'd be no grade, there'd be no learning. Okay. A 12th grade, you can get away with it. 12th grade, by the time they're mature in 12th grade, I'm saying, okay, is the high honors? High,
I have the lower.
You have the lower. Okay. Maybe you're very gifted, you can get away with it. What I've seen, most people can't get away with it. If their kids know there's no grade, mamish no grade, they're not going to, I don't know. Every yeshiva culture is a culture. I don't know everything.
It's worse than no grades. You're getting an A.
What's that?
It's worse than no grade. You're getting an A.
What do you mean? You're getting an A?
You're in this class. You're getting an A.
What?
Grades off the table. You're getting an A. And then why stay in the honors class?
Yeah, so I'm not in favor of that. I'm not in favor of just you just show up to share that you get an A automatically. I'm not in favor of that. I think you're going to get much less out of them if you just tell them you just show up, you got an A. You're going to get less out of them than if they have to do something. The team. Okay, I don't know everything. It's my opinion. Yeah.
You mentioned about the 400 times. I never say something 400 times, but the better guys in the class tell me, you said it 400 times already.
Yeah, it
so
wouldn't
how
work.
Do you balance that?
Yeah, so the answer is, again, the answer is balance. I would repeat something a second time, maybe a third time, but not beyond. Then you say to the kid, listen, I hear you're not getting it. Let's talk privately outside of the shiur. But you can't hold that back for the rest of the shiur. Absolutely.
I don't care that much.
Ask your hard questions. Don't ask the easy ones.
It's a hard question. I wanted to find out what the Eretz does, because you mentioned Rapan before, where Rapan says that the Rebbe has to be involved in preparing, that he knows the Gemara inside out, and ready to answer any question. There's a long-standing debate in terms of whether a Rebbe should be teaching the same Masechta year after year, because then he gets to know it. After a few years, he doesn't even look at it. He walks into the classroom without preparing anything, or he should be teaching a different mesecta each year, because then he has to be involved in it.
So, Rabbi, so I was saying this for 22 years, because of the second svara that the Rebbe just said. For 22 years, we always learned the news. We had a 9-year cycle because we were machmir on that end of things. I really feel that I discussed my Rebbe Mordechai Willi many times with this question. Recently, only in the last 2 years, mostly because of the weaker Bachrim and the weaker Rabbeim of the weaker Bachrim, who have to prepare so much stuff every time. You're making them do all these sheets and creative things and hooks to get those kids, mostly in respect to those Rabbeim. It's pretty much split in our yeshiva between the Rabbeim who taught the more honors classes, who wanted to have that Rizka, the Talmud, every year in themselves, I thought they'd be a better Rebbe if they had new stuff to prepare, versus the Talmidim in their regular class. So we actually made a change, but we did not legislate 100%, and We did it in a way that there's room, yesh v'yesh. I mean, in the ninth grade, it happens to be that all the rabbis agreed the last 3 years, the ninth grade learned brachos every year the last 3 years, because they're the weaker kids and the most basic. But the seniors, the senior rabbis did different things. I mean, the 10th grade, it was like split. Some of the rabbis wanted to do notes, so we allowed them. Again, this is a good shayla, but like they basically either do Makos or Sanhedrin. So some rabbis did Makos a few years in a row, they did Sanhedrin, and they did Sanhedrin, then Makos, then Sanhedrin, maybe then something else.
But there is a change. You're not teaching the same thing 5-6 years straight.
So we only did it three years straight. And again, now Brachos, I think next year might be year four. We sort of reevaluate this every year. It's a very good kasha. It's a very good kasha. And I have not had a great yeshiva-wide answer that will make everybody happy, because I see both sides of this issue. I don't see it to be a pashut issue. I used to be so strong on the side of that you have to learn a new thing every year, as I used to be. As I've gotten older and seen in terms of, if we're talking about putting the Talmidim first, for the Rebbe, it might be better to learn something new every year, but I think for the Talmidim, in some cases, some of the Rabbeim will be actually, they'll know it so much better if they do the same thing 2-3 years in a row, that actually for the Talmidim, it'll be better for the Rebbe to do it at least a few years in a row. Maybe not 6 or 7, but you know, maybe it needs a change after like 3-4 years or something like that. That's what I would say.
Crystal, thank you, Rebbe.
Oh, my schus. Thank you. What do you mean? Yosef Masha Egel Rotzalina. I was supposed to be teaching Shia this morning, so at least I got a little bit. I got to say a little bit.
Is it a requirement for the Rebbeim to attend these basketball games or these plays that Rebbe was referring to?
We have not. What is a requirement is every Rebbe has to have every kid in the shir over for a meal on Shabbos. That is a requirement. It's written in the contract, and they get reimbursed for it. Not that much. We reimburse them, I think, $25 for a Shabbos. I think $10 a meal, something like that. $10. I don't know how much you can buy for $10, but $10, you know, if you have a Friday night meal, it's $10. Shabbos afternoon meal is $10. Shabbos is $5. $25 for the whole Shabbos. The Rebbe gets reimbursed to have to tell me them over. Every Rebbe has to have every talmid over for Shabbos. Every Rebbe has to have people over for Shabbos. And we strongly encourage them, and they know that a good Rebbe will show up at the games. The good Rebbeim will show up at the games. The Rebbeim who connect the Talmidim well show up at the games. We didn't say you must go to 5 games, but at the big playoff games everybody comes. W. Willa comes to the championship. If they say they make the championship, he comes. W. Willa comes to the championship game. But the other Rebbeim, those who the Talmidim respect are the ones who come to the games. They show they care. They show they care about what's important to the Talmidim. I think it's very important.
Wouldn't you think that giving the Rebbe 100% reimbursement would encourage the Rebbe to do more and invite kids more? Because we all invite, and it sounds to me $10 and $5. Wouldn't you think that give them 100% of what they're doing will encourage them to do?
I think you want to have a standard. You want to have a standard. One Rebbe is going to spend $1,000 on lunch. I don't think that's what the Talmidim should have. I'm saying no. So that's why we just made a standard of what we think is reasonable. You're right. Maybe it should be a little more. We're Halb is cheap. What can I tell you? We're cheap. We don't have a $17 million building either. I don't know. It's funny. We're supposedly in the wealthiest neighborhood. Supposedly we're in the wealthiest neighborhood in all the United States. It's being recorded. I got to be careful what I say. But they're crazy about every dollar spent over there. It's moment hectic. I don't know. Good question.
Could you describe what DRS has done in terms of the subjects?
It's cell phones.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is the first year. Mamish, we felt this was a Makas Medina. We felt every single day, every class was all around this. Rebbe couldn't talk to him. He couldn't talk to him. His friends couldn't talk to him. He said, all day long. This, he bumps into cars, bumps into people, bumps into... In the hallways, no one was talking to each other. Everyone just... All day long, every second.
Exactly.
And so I'm saying, so we made... It's true.
Everywhere
except for DRS. And in the yeshivish world, it's not like this. But anyway, so we made a push this year, and here's the secret. Here's what we got away with. I did surveys with the parents.
Yeah.
60% of my parents strongly agreed with the policy to not allow the kids to look at their phones all day, and an additional 20% agreed. 60% strongly agreed. 80% of parents agreed with the policy. That's how I got away with it. 80%, including the most important people, they all saw their kids are way too addicted, way too tied in. And again, let me shut this for one second. I don't want to chas v'shalom.
And davening in general. Was there anything you ever came to kind of increase love of davening and their own accord instead of just being forced?
It's a great question that does not have an easy answer. It's a great question that everybody struggles with. We struggle with it mightily. One thing we did do, which had a good positive effect, but again, we had 370 kids davening in the same room for the last years. We made a change 2 years ago. We broke them up into 8 different minyanim. We have a smaller minyanim with 2 rabbis running a minyan in a small little place. The rabbis say it's 100 times better. There's more. You feel more part of a minyan when you
every single day.
We happen to have 8 sifrei Torah. We have 8 sifrei Torah. I don't know how we got that, but we have. You guys have 8 buildings. We have 8 sifrei Torah. But all right, but we have different minyanim. So that's much better because it's like the shtiebelization of America. I don't know what's going on in LA, but when I moved into my house in Woodmere, so there were maybe like 7 shuls, and then walking into my house, there are now 40. Literally, there are 40 shuls now because every 5 minutes another shul opens up. That's what's going on in America now, the shtiebelization of America. But that's a bad thing, but it's also a good thing because everybody feels they want to be part of something. They don't want to dive into a big shul. I'm a nobody. So we found that when there's 200 kids davening together, I know Barov HaMadras Melech, I know, but with us it was Barov HaMadras, somebody else was in there, not the Melech, it was more the Sultan was in there, not the Melech. But when the smaller minion, and there's 2 Rabbeim in a minion of 20 kids, so the first of all, that's 10 more kids davening for the Amid every day, 10 more kids leaning every Monday, Thursday, 10 more kids Gabai, 10 more kids feel like the minion, and the Rebbe can control. When you're in like 200 people, and this guy's talking, and that guy... It's very hard to control, but if it's 20 kids in a room, it's a lot easier.
So one of the big milas of a big room is that you have a certain culture,
and a core group,
speakers, that kind of thing. You know, a lot of the ruach of the yeshiva is when Rabbi Safran speaks to the oil.
Right.
So would you do something else to get the people together on a regular basis?
It's a great question, and it is very important. And one of the reasons we were so scared to do this over the years is Dafka because of that. But 370 kids. It was not by us. It was not Lamaise. Well, look this morning. You know, we did this morning. I'll show you what we did this morning. Yeah, so